Well, praise God. Now, I don't know if Tracy said it, but Brother Ivan will be here on the, I just looked it up. What is it? The 14th. So he'll be with us, and he's bringing his daughter, Abby. So we'll have that Sunday service, and he'll stay through and do a Wednesday service. So anyway, you can write that on your calendar. So anyway, well, praise God. Get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55. I want to start this message this morning. I won't get through with it. I'm not even going to try. I want to encourage y'all also, I know Wednesday nights, middle of the week, get to drive over in the dark, but I really believe it's profitable for you. And we are doing something very simple, but we're having great praise and worship. The Spirit of God's still moving, but we're learning by application to walk in what God wants us to do. So anyway, I don't know. I just feel like in life there's too many victims and we need some more victors in life. So this whole program with this book, going through the book and using this as a tool, we're calling it our victors program because I want to see people in victory, not victims. Amen? So that's all taking place on a Wednesday night. But this morning, I want to start this message. The title of this message is The Sure Mercies of David. And we're going to start here in Isaiah 55. I'm going to read a little bit here. So y'all just bear with me. Isaiah 55, 1. I love how, okay, you got to understand, the prophet Isaiah has been inspired by the Spirit of God, and he's prophesying this, right? And he starts it out and says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts." And if you look up that word, you know, if you look up the word, it means like, aha, wow, you know, it's a Hebrew word, and it really means like there's something to get excited about. It's like saying, wow, come on. You with me? Or like, yo, man, you ought to see what God's doing. Says, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your souls delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and all your souls shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Now, like I said, I'm not going to finish this morning. I'm going to run out of time today, and I'm going to have to just stay in this for a while because I really want you to get this. He says, the sure mercies of David. You got to understand something. If you look back in history of all the Old Testament, you keep going back and you keep going back and you keep going back, and you get all the way back to the garden. You get a picture. We don't know exactly what it looked like, but it was called Eden. And Eden meaning the place where you come and you eat and you don't have to pay for it. Where you come to the place of abundance. Hello? You know, like we just got through with Thanksgiving. I don't know how it was at your house, but you know, we went going in with family and all. We always have way too much to eat. It's like our minds are geared during the weekday when we're cooking. At least Laura and I, you know, we're thinking about we're cooking for two. But when you cook for Thanksgiving, you know, it's like everybody just goes overboard. You make a dish that would feed 40 for 20 because you just have this abundance. You just want it to be abundance sitting out on the table. And then everybody always looks at it and says, oh, I hope it's enough. And you're like, you got to be kidding me. If we eat all that, they're going to take it to the hospital. I mean, you know. And then they'll say, well, how many pies we got? Well, we got six. Well, gosh, I'll bring a couple more. You know, and that's just the way it is at Thanksgiving. All of them, they're just always, you know, it's a huge pile. And then everybody's trying to take food home when they're leaving, right? Well, that's what God says that he wants for you. You've got to get this concept, church, into your heart, because for too long religion has preached that you, because you're a sinner, a dirty, rotten scoundrel, because you're not going to live right, you're not going to do everything right, and you're going to say wrong things, you're going to do wrong things, that God is withholding things from you. But the Bible says that it's the love of God that brings people to repentance. Y'all hear me? It's His absolute love being poured out on you that brings you to repentance. So we start out the whole picture with this garden with Adam and Eve in it, and basically everything is there for them, including God Himself walking with them in the cool of the day. So you see a relationship with God that they could just talk to Him. Not walls and barriers and all this. I'm talking about before they sinned. Just to have this conversation with God and just walk with Him in the cool of the day and just be there in this place called Eden of abundance and everything that they needed. All right? And then, of course, you know the story. Man falls, makes mistakes, sin enters in, and the sin that they entered into, that they did, then no one said this to them. No one came up and told them and said, "You're a dirty, rotten sinner." But because they knew that God had given them a commandment, don't eat from that tree, and they did it, then their own conscience, their own inner man, convicted them and said, you know, God didn't want to speak to you, and they went and hid themselves, right? So it was never God who removed Himself from them. It was them who removed themselves from God. The same in our lives today. God didn't go anywhere. He's a God that doesn't change. He's a God still wanting to walk with you in the garden. He's a God, the God that's still wanting you to have abundance in life and walk with everything that you have need of and have all the pleasures of life. He's wanting it to be in your life. But it's our own sin, our own consciousness in our minds that separates and said, "Oh, surely God wouldn't want to do that for me because I didn't do everything right." And we forget about the blood of Jesus that the Bible says washes and covers us of our sin, that makes us right with God, that Ephesians 2 tells us tore down the wall that was between us and God of this issue of our lives and our mistakes, and it was torn down so that we could walk right in boldly into the throne room of grace. Are y'all with me? Yeah? Y'all following me here? You see, folks, I want to tell you something. If you walk right into the presence of God, whatever you have need of and whatever is going to be fixed. It may not be fixed like you think it should be fixed, because a lot of times in life, you know, we think the problem is this when the problem is really something else. I know we don't like to hear that because, you know, y'all are so smart and we have everything figured out. You know, and we don't realize that really it's something that needs to change within our own heart to bring about a miracle. Come on. Listen, you can't harbor unforgiveness in your heart, bitterness, jealousy, anger, wrath, malice, all the things the Bible talks about. You can't harbor those things in your heart and expect to walk with God. Because what happens is you yourself separate yourself from God. It isn't Him that's separating Himself from you. It's you separating yourself from Him. Listen, Ernie over here, man, y'all know he cooks the best barbecue in the world. But if I didn't like it, if I got a bad piece of meat, and I just went around and just bad-mouthed him and said that was the worst, you know, it won't happen, but I just said, using it as an example here this morning, I went around town and said, "Oh, Ernie, that's the sorriest bunch of garbage ever ate in my life," and all. And then I saw Ernie. I would be kind of concerned that he might have heard that I was saying this about him. And then, you know, I wouldn't want to see Ernie if I've been bad mouthing Ernie. Y'all with me? It's the same way with God. If you've been bad mouthing God, or not even been bad mouthing God particularly, but by your actions was not something that you knew He'd be pleased with, you don't want to have fellowship with Him. Am I right? So what would I do? I would avoid Ernie. So when people are in a broken relationship with their Heavenly Father, what they do is they simply just avoid Him. Then there's an excuse not to read their Bible, an excuse not to go to church, an excuse not to fellowship with so-and-so because that'll make them, you know, think about God, or they don't want to, you know, this or that and the other. Y'all with me? It's like I said, I, I, It really breaks my heart because I'm the nicest guy in the world. And I do like to be around people, but it gets interesting to me that when I get around people, if I just walk into a situation, everybody acts differently because the preacher's on the scene. And I'm always like, dude, I mean, you know, whatever. Well, you're not hiding anything from God, and I don't care. It's none of my business. But everybody goes to kicking the dirt and talking different and, you know, whatever. And so it's just saying that there's something not right between the relationship between God and themselves. All right? He says here that he wants you to come and to eat and to buy and to have everything that you need free of charge. I want it laid out for you. I want the table set. I want the Thanksgiving meal for you every day. That's God's attitude towards you. And until we come to an understanding and really grab hold of that into our hearts that God Almighty loves you. He loves you just like you are. Whether you're messed up, you're goofy, you're twisted, you're warped, you're whatever. He loves you. He wants to help you fix some things in your life, but he absolutely 100% loves you. And he wants to pour out upon you the sure mercies of David upon you. Now listen, let's talk about the sure mercies of David. From Adam and Eve, would you not have said Adam and Eve were blessed? They didn't pay for anything, didn't buy anything, living in a garden with the presence of God. I mean, we get to thinking, I don't know how you think about this, but we know they were unclothed, right? But I don't know. I mean, I'm not much of a gardener, right? And so we get to thinking, or I do, I think like, I put my picture like, picture them like in a rainforest. I don't know why. That's just what I picture. Like they're just living underneath a fern, which doesn't sound too appealing to me. Are y'all with me? Am I the only one who has these kind of thoughts? Am I just kind of loopy? I mean, I don't picture them in a, you know, in a Manhattan $20 million apartment, right? I picture them in the woods, in the rainforest, or the, you know, it's all green and nice. But it must have been really good because it was Eden and they were really happy there. Are y'all with me? So it must not have been, you know, an ugly camping trip. Right? But they were, we would say they're blessed. And then you see that then through all that they went through, then God came to Abraham. And in Abraham, Genesis 12, he says, man, I want to bless you. Now, if God says he wants to bless you, do you think you'd be blessed? Like, if I want to bless you, I can only bless you so much because I'm going to run out of resources. Right? But when a God who is unlimited and makes worlds and creates universes and puts stars in the sky and does all these things, he says he wants to bless you, I'm pretty sure that's a pretty big blessing. Are y'all with me? Now, again, we humans, I think we categorize blessing. Like, we put dollar amounts on blessing. We tend to do this. I know the world does it, but even as Christians, we tend to do this. Like if the guy lives in a great big house, and he's got lots of money in the bank, and done really well, and he's really, really wealthy, and oil wells are pumping in his backyard, say, man, that dude's blessed. But he may be a tormented soul. Are y'all with me? And then again, you may look on the other end of saying and say, oh, well, so-and-so's blessed. They don't have anything. They're, you know, they have to eat squirrel every morning, but God gives them one, and they're, you know. I'm a balanced guy. I can sit in the big house with an oil well pumping in the back and still be blessed. Because blessings, I know, come from what happens on the inside of my heart and my relationship with God. I don't want that lifestyle. All right? I don't want to be Joel Osteen. I have never been envious of Joel Osteen. I do not want to show up on a church with 23,000 people in there and try to organize that mess. I don't want everybody taking pot shots at me. I don't want to be on television, although I am. Hello out there. But you know what I'm saying? I don't want that lifestyle. I'm country. I'm a country boy. You know, I'm happiest on my rocking chair on my porch with my gun and my dog and my wife. I'm a simple kind of guy. And there's no order to that. But you see what I'm saying? Blessing. You got to understand blessing. Blessing is not always just dollar amounts. Right? It's not always just dollar amounts. But the world tends to put that and say, oh, look how blessed this guy is. You know, the stars are so blessed. They go to the elegant parties and have the fancy dresses and the balls are always there and all that. But I don't know about all that. Are y'all with me? He says, I want to give you something today that I want you to start clinging to. The sure mercies of David. He said, I want to make a covenant with you. Let's look at it again. Isaiah 55. Incline your ear and come to me, verse 3, hear and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David, an everlasting covenant, a covenant that will not end, a covenant that cannot be broken because God said it was everlasting. So when he said it was everlasting, it means it cannot end on his part. And the mercies that he was going to give you was the sure mercies of David. So let's just look at David's life for a second. Here's a man. Matter of fact, go to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel 13, I believe it's 13:14. He took a little trip. 1 Samuel 13:14. Let's try that. Yeah. God is speaking to Samuel and he says, but now your kingdom shall not continue, for the Lord has sought himself a man after his own heart. The Lord has commanded him to be a commander over his people. God was looking for a man that was after his own heart. If you go over to 1 Samuel 16, you can look at that when Samuel went to anoint Jesse's sons and they started bringing them in. He looked at the first guy and he said, oh man, look at this big old tall handsome dude. This got to be him. But God said, no, it's not him. And the next one came in and said, man, he's as good as the other one. Let me have him. Yeah, it's got to be him. Went all the way down to David came in. David was known for this, that he had a heart for God. Are y'all with me? That he had a heart for God. Did that mean that he did everything right? That he did everything perfect? Absolutely not. The guy murdered a man. The guy committed adultery. The guy started looking at himself as God at one point. But throughout the scriptures, God said he was a man after my own heart. What was the deal? Because God said to David, I'm going to give you an everlasting covenant. I'm going to have mercy on you when you should fry. I love you because I see what's down inside your heart. I love what I can see that's right down in you that nobody man can see. Not an outward appearance, but it's something that's inside of you that I'm hungry for, that I love. I see your heart and your heart's for me. I see that deep down on the inside of you, though you mess up and your head gets in the way and you do stupid things here and there, that your heart is for me and that you want to do what I really want you to do. You have a heart for me. And that means more to me. So I'm going to give you an everlasting covenant. And the covenant's going to be this, David, that you're not going to see corruption. In other words, you're not going to go to hell. I don't know about y'all. But I'm glad today to know that part of the blessing of God upon my life is I'm not going to hell. I'm headed to heaven. Moment my breath leaves my body, I'm stepping into the courts of heaven. And I ain't coming back. You can shoot me with a little tatoosh, and I ain't coming back. I'm telling y'all, if I drop dead up here, that little box back there, that defibrillator, just leave it off of me. I'm gone. I want to be in heaven. I want to walk the streets of gold. I want to be with Jesus. And if I get to that side and I see it, I ain't coming back. I want to hang on to Jesus, man. I'm not coming back. I'm sorry, but I want the streets of gold. My wife and I have already had this discussion. She knows. She's on her own. I'm out of here. And my grandchildren can just watch videotapes of me, you know? But that was one of the sure mercies of David, that he knew that he knew that he was going to go to heaven. Folks, listen to me. That brings peace in your life. The world's out there reeling back and forth and like the waves of the sea being tossed. But I want to tell you something. Peace comes in your life when you know that 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 when you die, you're going to go to heaven. The only way to have that assurance in our life is through our covenant with Jesus. Now, I'm going to get into all of this. It's our covenant with Jesus. That the sure mercies of David, okay, God promised him, I'm going to make this everlasting covenant to you. There's always going to be reigning on the throne one of your children. Go back and look at the lineage of Jesus coming through where the way he was born comes from the lineage of David. Sat on the everlasting throne at the right hand of God. God fulfilled that promise to David. It was forgiveness. Folks, I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad to know that I have forgiveness. Glad to know that when I mess up, that I can go get down on my knees and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm stupid. Because what happens to us when we don't do that, all those little things start building up in our heart. And then our heart starts to deceive us and get hard. And when we get hard-hearted, we don't hear. And when we don't hear, we miss God. And we start to separate ourselves from God. Proverbs 4:23 says that out of the heart flow all the issues of your life. If this heart, your not your pumping heart, not your, you know, your muscle that's pumping the blood through there, but your soulish heart, the real you down on the inside of you. If you shut off, you close off, you get angry, you get wounded, you get hurt, and you shut that part of your heart off, you have a part of it is hard and dead and doesn't hear God. Doesn't mean it all goes down at once, because how many of y'all know the true test that if you've forgiven somebody that's hurt you is to run into them face to face? And you look at him and you say, huh, I still would like to punch your face off. You know, you haven't really come to that total place of healing. You hadn't thought about it for a while, but then you ran into him and you're like, just to knock your tooth out would be joy for me. Then you say, I'm not healed. I'm not totally forgiven that person and totally been healed in here. I've learned in life, I'm not so worried about them, like exacting punishment upon them, but I'm really concerned because I don't want my heart to get hardened. Because when your heart gets hardened, I don't want to miss God. And the thing that drives me in life is I do not want to miss God. I want to walk with God. I want to get there into heaven, walk across that threshold into the courts of heaven and hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't want him to say, half done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't want him to say, almost done, thy good and faithful servant. Could have done better, thy faithful servant. Right? I don't want him to hear him say, well, come on in, I guess. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Right? That's what I want to say. That's all I live for. But I know I will not make that cut if I let something harden my heart so that then I can't walk in the things that God has for me, because my hardness of my heart is going to shut me off from my relationship with God, and I'm scared about that. The sure mercies of David, I look back and I say, wow, God, you promised me an eternal covenant of the sure mercies of David, and you forgave this man who killed a man, who took his wife, who did all these things, because David's heart kept being a heart that was a heart of repentance. David was king, and when he was confronted by Nathan, the prophet, saying, dude, you're wrong. God says this about you. The first thing he did was repent. He didn't have Nathan killed. What gets you the sure mercies of David in your life is being a person who is quick to repent. Now, I'm gonna tell you this just, and then I for time's sake, we'll just have to take up the rest of all of this because I have about 20 more chapters here. Okay, go back if you would. Just go back to Isaiah 55 and let me close up here. Okay, I want to read it again. Verse 1. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. How can you buy something without money and without price? I mean, is that what you technically call an oxymoron because you can't do it? Is that the technical term or what that is? You can't buy something without money. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. You can't buy something. You with me? Why do you spend money for what is not bread and wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. The only thing that you can do to walk in what that blessing he's talking about is have a heart like David, one that's quick to repent. The price of it is your heart. You see what I'm saying? The price of all of the abundance of God, all of everything that God has for you, everything you could ever need out there, the price of that, it's not for sale. You can't buy it with money. You can't buy it with times you go to church. You can't get enough gold stars. He's saying, no, I just want your heart. That's the only thing you got to trade is, I want your heart. You give me your heart, it's all yours. It's free. Come and eat, drink. Folks, listen to me. That means that we should be walking in all the blessings of God. We should be walking in all of his covenants and all of his promises. That means we should be walking as kings and priests upon this earth, like the Bible says. That means that our attitude every day has to be that we're walking out. We are VIP sons of God. Walking in the sure mercies of David. So if you're not, then you got to change. And the only way to change is look at your heart. And if it's hard in some areas, you got to ask the Holy Spirit to soften it. You got to ask the Holy Ghost to work on it. You got to ask him to reveal the word to you and let the truth come in you and set you free. Folks, we shouldn't live in bondage. We need to live in freedom. We shouldn't live in torment. We need to live in freedom. You shouldn't wake up every day and think, oh, God's mad at me, and I know he wants to have an appointment with me. And man, I'm just not going to forgive that person. That I know since I'm going to talk to God about it, I'm just not going to forgive. Why? Why are you living like that? Why live like that, church? You say, well, I put my foot down and I'm not going. Well, why? Why be tormented? Say, well, I'm not tormented. I'm just going to beat him next time I see him. I ain't tormented. I'm going to win this fight. You know, you might just get whipped. Some of us are getting older, and we may not be as good as we think we are. Our cat-like reflexes may have gone. I can tell you, it would be a miracle if I have any cat-like reflexes left. And all I'm saying to you, church, is I would rather have the sure mercies of David upon my life than exact my revenge upon a person. I would rather live in the sure mercies of God and the blessings of God and let God deal with them I would rather sit back in my rocking chair and enjoy life and let God take it up with him and feel his sure mercies on my life and walk with him in the garden and the blessings upon my life. Amen? So I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to go on. I'm going to show you how this process works and what you can do. But how many of you like the sure mercies of David? I like not getting fried when I mess up. Amen? Well, stand to your feet. Me and my prayer team, come down, please. Church, if you're here and you got something you want to pray about, well, we're here for you to pray with you. But I'm going to pray a prayer over you. And if you're open to it, then grab this prayer in your heart. But I know all of us deal with issues in life, hurts and pains, things that have happened to us, things that have gone on in life, things that have stopped us and hardened our hearts. And whether you're in here today, you're listening by audio or watching by video, I just want you to know God wants to heal your broken heart. So I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And I guarantee the Bible says that if you cry out to God, he'll hear your cry. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, he'll heal you. Oh, you may not understand it, maybe through a circumstance or situation, but God will heal your broken heart. Amen? So let me pray for you. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone here today, those listening and watching. And Lord, I just ask right now in Jesus' mighty name that everyone that's has a broken heart, everyone that has an issue, a pain in their life that's caused there to be hardness within their heart, that Lord, their ears become open again to hear your voice because they look to you. They repent and ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, I thank you that you're quick to move into their lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. And that you come into their hearts and into their lives and you touch them and you heal them. You heal and mend their broken hearts and get them back into a place they can be walking with you in the cool of the day and hearing your voice and having that fellowship with you. And that the sure mercies of David come upon our lives, Lord, and that we walk in the blessings of our God. Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Now, Holy Ghost, I thank you for just making it happen, bringing it all about. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Now, church, I want to tell you, I want to encourage you again that Wednesday nights, man, we're changing things up. I'm believing to work in people's lives and to help people. I want to see people go from victims to victors. And so if that's something that interests you, I want to encourage you to just be here on Wednesday night. But I'm telling you, we're going out into the world. We're going to go around people. You're going to see people all this week. I want to bring this to your attention. You know, the holiday seasons is some of the worst times for people. And there's more people depressed, more people discouraged during the holiday season. Be tender and sensitive around the people you come across, those that are around you, because this is a season really to be merry and see Jesus move in people's lives. It's a season to reach out and help people, to pray for people, to love on people. And so be sensitive from now on, all the way through this holiday season. When you see something going on, just know Jesus will move in their lives and touch them and bless them. Amen? Y'all do that for me? So grab that person's hand beside you. Father, I just declare right now in Jesus' name that as we leave this building, as we go out into the world, that we're going to be sensitive to all of those around us that are hurting, that are in need. And Lord, I just ask you to just move in their lives, to give us the ability, the words that we need to say, to bless people, to help people. And Lord, we thank you for it. We love you, Jesus. And we praise you for everything you've done for us and for the sure mercies of David over our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. We're here for you up front if you need prayer.